The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
IGN Playlist is a new home to your game library. Rate games, share lists, and log your game time powered by How Long to Beat. Sign up for early access today at playlist.ign.com.
Beyond and hello everyone, my name is Jonathan Dornbush and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show. I didn't count down or anything to prepare my co-host that I was about to start, so we're rolling right into it. That's the energy I'm coming with on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you all so much for joining us for this week's episode. I'm joined this week by Matt Kim.
Hello.
Hello, and Mark Medina.
Yeah, thanks for the non-countdown. I'm like halfway through a drink and he's like, hello. And I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm here. Yeah. We're recording a podcast. I'm a professional.
I need to keep you all on your toes because otherwise you never know what's going to happen in the middle of a podcast. PlayStation could drop breaking news and we have to be here ready to
Can't have us getting too comfortable.
No, never. Especially while we're all at home. You know, you could be podcasting from bed in your PJs. None of that. We're going to keep it serious here. And we're going to get into the PlayStation news, which even though PlayStation is not releasing any major games this holiday, we, of course, as we mentioned last week, did celebrate the first year anniversary of the PlayStation 5. And there were a couple quotes from PlayStation sort of looking ahead to the future for the PS5 that we want to dig into, as well as, unfortunately, some of the problems that some of those might face getting a PS5, as some of the news stories that have come up recently have gotten into. But before we get there and into what we've been playing and all of that, I did want to first and foremost, most importantly, mention, though she is not on the show today, today is our wonderful co-host Jada Griffin's birthday. So go wish her a happy birthday. Go say happy birthday to her. She has taken the day off. And though she admirably was like, I'd like to be on, I did not want her to work on her day off. So
she's like, I can be on for Beyond. We're like, no, that's not how it works.
Take your day off for your birthday. So happy birthday to Jada. Please all go wish Jada a happy birthday. I will be watching. So go wish a happy birthday. But other than that, let's get into the show. So PlayStation, Matt, Mark.
I've heard of it.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm ready. Hit me.
Good. So unfortunately, there's a lot of PlayStation games in development.
Oh, good.
Darn.
Bad? No.
No, I say good. Unfortunate because we don't know what most of them are. And I'm going to be asking both of you to help me guess what they are.
Gotcha.
And by unfortunate, I mean probably the comments after we make all of our guesses. Mm-hmm. So
in the years to come, as we're one by one wrong.
Exactly.
I know the answer. I'll share it when the time is ready. I know.
Oh, nice. You're going to leak it all here. Sure. You're going to leak all of the game. Perfect. Mm-hmm, I'm looking forward to that. Of course.
He's going
to
leak it when they leak it.
Yes.
We're timing it. Yeah, we're timing it together. You know,
right? It's a co-leak, as we call it in the biz. For those who may have missed it, to celebrate the 1 year anniversary of the PS5, there was some comments on the PlayStation blog, sort of celebratory about what's been going on from Jim Ryan. The post was penned by and said the imaginative game creators and publishing partners we work with have launched more than 360 games on PS5. Additionally, there are more than 25 games in development for PS5 at PlayStation Studios. So PlayStation Studios, which I'm going to sort of set the parameters for, I think, what we should include here. There are theoretically 25 games, at least, in development. We know of a few of those, and so we're going to add those to the list. But other than what we know of, both untitled and titled, the floor is kind of open. And I think it's up to us, as well as the audience, to figure out what those games are going to be. Sure. And so that if they didn't actually figure out what these games are at PlayStation, they now have a roadmap to work from.
Yeah, they can just go off our list.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, yeah, we didn't think about making Bloodborne 2. We'll make it now.
We should do that. Yeah. Yeah. Has anyone asked for this? We should probably make a Bloodborne 2. Yeah. Well, we'll get to any potential sequels we want to see. But first, I think it's important to establish the games we do know about. So there's God of War Ragnarok, mm-hmm, Horizon Forbidden West, mm-hmm, and Gran Turismo 7 all coming out next year from PlayStation Studios. Those are all confirmed. Sure. Red, if you're able to write in the doc that I've shared with you before we put it up on screen to get these games I'm about to list, that would help those watching at home. And if you're listening, mm-hmm, to audio, that doesn't matter. Anyway, we have those three games. I think it's safe to say, and both of you can call me crazy, I think there was probably an MLB game in the works.
What? No, baseball's over. It is ended it? This year. Yeah, I think it ended this year. I think it okay. was
I they saw finally the did the finale.
I saw the World Series. That happened right. last. Yeah, that happened like a month ago, and then baseball's done, I think.
Yeah, that was the series finale, I guess. You're correct. Yeah, that's how teams.
Every
works.
Super Bowl, I'm like, that's it.
That's it.
We beat football.
And then
they keep rebooting football, you know? So, like, I'm prepared, right? Like, I know now.
Yeah, you would think they learned from all the glitches from the last year, and yet they seem to still have the same problems. So we've got those three games, and then we have MLB the I'm gonna say MLB the Show 21 or 22 yep. excuse me MLB 22. The Show 22 yep. feels like a foregone conclusion. We know Spider-Man 2 is in the works from Insomniac, yep. Yep. and we know Wolverine is in the works from Insomniac, so that's two more to add to the list. That gets us already five deep. We're at six already. Now let me hit
halfway
you.
There
Yeah, exactly. Halfway to 25. Let me hit you with a few others, and let me, I also kind of want to get a temperature check from how you guys, like, your interest level are on these. We know Naughty Dog is working on some sort of multiplayer game.
Right.
Based on their Last of Us multiplayer work that didn't end up happening in Part 2. We know it's happening from Naughty Dog. Mm-hmm. How are you guys, did you play much of Factions? Did you ever try it out?
I love Factions, but I didn't play it. People are like, you remember that era when like every game had to have a multiplayer component and like most of them were kind of not good. Mm-hmm. But then there are a couple of them that are like weirdly beloved. Like BioShock 2 had a multiplayer mode that people loved.
It
right?
wasn't and, bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like Factions is another one of those. Like The Last of Us also had like that. And then people were like, yo, this is really good. And also I think Metal Gear Solid 4 had a beloved multiplayer.
I'm going to check that out. I never played, so I don't know, but I could see that having happened.
I'm sure it's still bustling.
Yeah. It has multiplayer to everything, and like flip of a coin, they were mostly bad, but there are a couple of these weird mm-hmm. ones that people are just like, I love playing Factions. I love playing BioShock 2 multiplayer. So,
I've also never played Factions because it was kind of the same deal with me. As like I remember all the Uncharted's had multiplayers, but it was just like you know team death matches and stuff like that. And I know people like them, but I was like, I don't need that. And so I kind of thought it was the same with Last of Us. And I was playing games with my friends the other night, and they berated me because I was like, I've never played it. I'm not excited for whatever Last of Us 2 Factions is. Like, Mark, it's so good. Why don't I play it so much? So
Factions was really great. But the only problem with it that I had was in order to get the trophies, there were multiplayer trophies. And to get it, essentially, you could decide which faction you were in. There were two factions of like survivors. And to get the trophies for multiplayer, you essentially had to complete the campaign for each faction, but that meant roughly about 30 to 40 hours per campaign, which was a lot. I think people could like ended up doing it more quickly, but it was a very, very intensive sort of thing for a largely single player game. But other than that, very good multiplayer.
You trophy guys off on a, are hardcore.
Yeah.
I was going to go off on a real quick tangent about trophies. Jade is not here. She's not here to stop me. I'm kind of having a coming of age moment. Okay. I'm getting elderly. Mm-hmm. Okay. The hair is turning gray. When it rains, my joints hurt. I was playing Grand Theft Auto 3 the other day, which we'll talk more about later. Okay. And I'm sitting there and I'm doing taxi missions. You have to do 100 of them for a trophy. I got like 20 minutes in. I'd done like 15. And I thought to myself, I'm getting too old for this. I don't know if I can keep doing this because there are so many damn games. This is supposed to be a slow year.
Yeah.
And I have so many games to play. why am I sitting here doing taxi missions on Grand Theft Auto 3? Because one day I'm going to get the platinum for Grand Theft Auto 3. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. So, I can't keep doing this.
So, Mark, I'm going to say something. You may be surprised. The problem isn't you. The problem is that trophy. There's unfortunately still too many bad trophies that get made. And as someone who loves hunting for trophies, but fundamentally has a problem with the way most trophies are done, I think a lot of those like do X number of thing trophies are really unfun and don't really incentivize you to play the game more interestingly. It just incentivizes you to play the game for a longer period of time. That was like, I love Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. I think Miles Morales' trophy list is way better, even though the Spider-Man 1 trophy list is overall pretty solid, but you had to do like 50 or 60 of those random crimes. And so and because they're random, you might just be like taking down the same four thugs 60 times. That's not fun. That doesn't encourage you to play the game interestingly.
What's great about that one is it doesn't require you to play the game twice, where Miles Morales requires you to beat the game twice. Luckily, you can just skip all the cutscenes. I got through it in like an evening. But yeah, that was just kind of like this weird, like, I agree. It's just a bad trophy. But it's my thought process is like, I want to play all three GTAs. You can beat Grand Theft Auto 3 in probably like 5 or 6 hours. It is not that long of a game. But the platinum is like 30 hours.
Sure.
So it's just like, that's too much. That's too long.
Yeah.
To get you.
Yeah.
Quick thing.
Yes.
There's a trophy in Spider-Man where you have to commit crimes to get him, right? That's what you were saying? You commit crimes for the trophy?
You're stopping the crimes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was a little confused.
Matt's like, hold on.
Yeah, you become the bad guy? Spider-Man has to rob several locations throughout the game.
I like that. I love trophies. Love participation trophies.
Yes, participation trophies are great. Completing level trophies, I love. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. Back to this PlayStation 5 list. So we've got the Naughty Dog multiplayer game. We've got Sony Bend working on a new IP. They've confirmed there is a new IP of some kind because they are not doing a Days Gone sequel, as far as we know at the moment. Right. Thank you, Red, for readjusting your text, though I did find it very amusing. So we know we have that new IP in the works, that they are using the open world framework, like the work they did on a technical level, and are using that for what this new IP is. I don't know how much either of you played Days Gone.
A lot.
Okay. I felt like, yeah, Mark, I was gonna ask, because I felt like you played a lot. I feel like I maybe played about 20 hours. I thought the bike stuff and the roaming around, obviously with the freaker hordes, I think was the coolest part. And I think if they find a way to adapt that into a new open world, it could be really cool. But I don't know what they're going to go for.
I never beat it because that is one of those games that famously just like does not end.
Mm-hmm.
And so I eventually was just like done. I would love for Bend. They've already made one Uncharted game. I would love for them to maybe take a crack at another one. I think that'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
A spinoff.
They were taking off the remake, right?
I was going to say, I forgot about that game. Thank you so much for bringing this up. There is allegedly, so let's put it on the list just to put it there. There's allegedly the Last of Us remake in the works.
Right. Yeah.
Because we all thought it was Uncharted, and then the report said The Last of Us. Red, to cover us legally, please put the word allegedly. Otherwise, the Sony police will come after me.
Nice. I forgot about the Last of Us remake, and I forgot about like how ridiculous that note is. Like, we don't need a remake for the Last of Us. That game is 8 years old.
Oh, we're almost great.
Yeah, we're at the 8 year anniversary, and to be fair, there was like we'll be going into the 8 year anniversary, or maybe 9 year, because it was 2013, and then there was the remaster for PS4, which was even later. So
a year later. Yeah, the game looks and plays totally fine. That's insane to me. It's really hard when you have someone like, it's so weird because like Ashley Johnson and Troy Baker they're still very in the business. They both played Joel and Ellie 2 years ago or 1 year ago, whenever Last of Us Part 2 came out. Time has no meaning anymore. And so it's like, are they voicing Joel and Ellie? That would make sense. Those performances are so fresh. They're 8 years old.
That's the thing, is like, I wonder if they would change the performance. Like, they might leave the performances and just upgrade the rest of the tech.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That screams remaster to me. Like, it does. You know what I mean? That's what's so weird about it.
game companies themselves don't know what a remaster and a remake
is. True.
Like time. Everyone and they all yeah. They all love money.
Yep. So. They will use whatever word it seems the best to use at that point is, because remaster mm-hmm. and remake are so used interchangeably by the industry sometimes. So anyway, we've got that. We know that Pixel Opus, the Concrete Genie devs, are working on a game in partnership with Sony Pictures Animation. So we don't know what that game is. We don't know if it's a Sony Pictures IP. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it's an original IP. Concrete Genie was a very, very pretty game. So I don't know about you guys, but I love the combo of very beautiful artists from this very small creative team working with the studio that made Spider-Verse and the Mitchells versus the Machines. Like, mm-hmm. that's a pretty good combination in my book.
What if Spider-Verse video game?
That's what I'm hoping for, even though people would probably be like, another Spider-Man game from Sony. And I would be like, yes, give it to me.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, Concrete Genie is great. That game was so like dark and gritty, but then also extremely colorful and really pretty. So I'm very excited to see what they're going to do next.
Yeah, I would love it to be one of those two IPs. Though, I will say, just for fairness, Sony Pictures also made the Emoji Movie and are behind the Hotel Transylvania series. So if it's an adaptation, it could be a lot of things. Right. But we'll see. We'll see what
Emoji
happens.
Emoji Movie video game.
And then last but not least, we know that London Studio is working on some sort of game that has like online or multiplayer elements to it. They are the devs behind Blood and Truth and then previously The Getaway. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, which tells me that they might be making a flagship PSVR 2.
Yeah, that's very possible. I will say The Getaway, I believe there's an anniversary coming out for it soon. Like, or it's reaching a 20-year anniversary, either this year or next year. Next year will be the 20th anniversary. So the idea of reviving a classic PlayStation franchise like The Getaway could be pretty potential there in my book. Last but not least, before we get into what our wild wishes are, I did want to just mention, you guys let me know if you feel I'm off base. I feel like this does count. They said PlayStation Studios, and PlayStation right. Studios does publish exclusives from other companies. So stuff like Returnal and Destruction All-Stars and things like that are, you know, worked in partnership with XDev and then published through PlayStation Studios. I think that means we shouldn't count stuff like KOTOR that's being made by Asper Media, but I do think it means we should cover the three games that they have from Haven, Jade Raymond Studio, Demolition Game Studio, which is that the game that's being made by the former Call of Duty devs, the Black Ops devs, and then Firewalk Studios, which is that studio that has like Call of Duty and Destiny and Battlefield and like 12 other different games sort of people like at their head. I think all three of those games that are like publishing exclusive partnerships should be counted here.
What about would that count Koji Pro?
It would count Death Stranding was published by PlayStation on there, so it would count it if they were working on a new PlayStation project,
right, which we have no idea if they are.
Yes, but we could say, like, if you want to pull them in as a possibility, that could work. So I'll add those to the list, mostly so Red, you don't have to work through the mishmash of things I just said. But with that list, that puts us at about 14 games, so we have 9 more to pull in. So ideally, I would like 2 from each of you. I'll give 2, and then I have a few from the audience that we can pull.
I'm feeling cool. You missed one, actually, in your original rundown.
I did, yeah. I was like, I got this all set, and then you all helped me by mentioning a thing, so thank you. With that in mind, Matt, I'm going to start with you. What is a game, either an existing PlayStation property or a specific studio you hope is working on a game? Give me a genre, give me an anything.
I said at the top of the show that I know the answer, and I wasn't lying. It is 12 through 25, Ape Escape 4 through whatever up until 25 is. We are owed at least that many Ape Escape games. And it's
a lot.
A lot. We are owed a lot of them, and so that's the rest of the list. They're making up for it. They're going to give us one every 6 months until we hit 25.
Okay, but hear me out. I was going to say Ape Escape, so I think we can combine this, because my running belief is that Team Asobi should get to do an Ape Escape game.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
If they're working on Ape Escape, then who's making Astro's Playroom 2?
They're doing both, Mark.
Okay. Yeah. I'll allow that.
They're the only Japan studio, so I think, why not give them two games?
Sure. Hey, if Insomniac can work on 14 games at once, then, you know, another studio can do at least two.
Matt, were you a big Ape Escape fan, or do you just love the idea of Ape Escape?
No, I was a huge Ape Escape fan. When I didn't own the PlayStation, but I grew up with my cousin who did, and the only games that we played together on PS1 were Crash Bandicoot and Ape Escape. Nice. And Crash Bandicoot was great because it was one of those, like, all right, you died, now you got to hand over the controller. Ape Escape was a little more tough because you kind of don't really die. You just play a level. And so we fought over that one way more than Crash. But yeah, I loved Ape Escape and I miss it every day.
I've never escaped any apes. So I don't even know like what that is, to be honest with you.
You got to quest the escaped apes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't help them escape?
No. It's a harrowing.
Oh, that's terrible.
You're an ape cop.
That's terrible. Actually. I don't know.
Well, Are we saying Ape Escape is bad now?
No, because those apes were jerks. Like, that's they were true. Assholes.
They are misfits.
What's the Devolver game? What's the...
Ape Out?
You know, Ape Out, yeah. Mm. See, that game, you totally broke out as an ape, and you just destroyed everybody. Like, that's the Ape Escape I want. Death to all humans.
That could be, a gritty third-person action blockbuster reboot of Ape Escape. You play as one of the escaped apes.
Could you imagine a, like, full AAA budget Ape Out 2 is like this gritty third person, you're just throwing cars at dudes with guns? Like, that sounds like the best game ever made.
I mean hear me out, Mark.
Things, but
that is true. Mm-hmm. Are we pitching a second Ape Escape game here? Is it going to be Ape Escape by Team Asobi and then Ape Escape by, like, I don't know, Sucker Punch?
There you go. Ape Escape 2, The Revenge.
No, I would love to see an Ape Escape, absolutely. And it's one of those franchises that I feel like people just instantly associate with, like, classic PlayStation. It is such a, you know, it's such a weird idea, but it was such a fun one for that era. I would love to see it come back. Mark, what's one that you, a studio, a game, a franchise, a something that you want to see?
Yeah. So I took the easy way out because it's Mark Medina way. So there are two recent acquisitions that have finished their games and are clearly working on. So I'll start with one would be Bluepoint. They finished Demon's Souls earlier this year, and you have to assume that they're going to keep this remake trend going. And so the big made up, somebody said it, so now it's a rumor, is that they're working on a Bloodborne remake. Who knows if that's true? Bloodborne's not that old. Or at the very least, working on a Bloodborne remaster to bring it to PlayStation 5, because PlayStation knows deep down that if they were like, hey, Bloodborne's fully remastered from the ground up for PlayStation 5, like, you're just printing money at that point.
Realistic.
Because, like, that game is, you know, probably one of the most beloved of the Souls games, and, you know, it's stuck on PS4, and the PS4 version is great, but it also has a lot of frame rate issues, and it never came to PC, so, like, the PS4 version is the only way to play that game, and so that game definitely needs some love, for sure. And I think Bluepoint is obvious, clearly the studio to work on it.
We've talked about it before, and it is so wild, especially as we lead up into Elden Ring. It's like, between PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo, it's like PlayStation has arguably the most beloved FromSoft game that, you know, isn't part of the current conversation just because there hasn't been a remaster or remake or anything. And it's like, they could do so much with it, and there just hasn't been anything.
Yeah, it's weirdly trapped on last gen console. It's very strange.
And they had that happen with Demon's Souls, and then they just decided to remake it. So hopefully Bloodborne doesn't disappear forever. But yeah, I think that is a worthy addition to the list.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving on from there, my suggestion is going to be, I know there have been, I think, some rumors swirling around. I don't know how valid any of them actually are, but I would love, and I've been asking for this for years, a new Sly Cooper. I don't think it will be Sucker Punch who works on it. I don't necessarily even think it should be Sucker Punch that works on it. They very clearly like have sort of a trajectory in mind, I think. And I don't know if going back to Sly Cooper would make sense in the same way people were like, oh, Naughty Dog should do another Crash Bandicoot. No, they shouldn't. At this point, you know, it's been 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Most of those people probably don't work there anymore. It's fine. But I'm going to say a new Sly Cooper should be in the works. Again, I don't want to give Team Asobi a third game to work on. But,
oh my gosh.
You know, I think they're either the most obvious within the current PlayStation Studio slate, or they would want to partner with someone else. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually have anyone quite in mind, I'm going to be honest with you.
Team Asobi is trembling right now.
Yeah, I'm really putting a lot of work on them, and I kind of feel bad about it. Honestly, if that were Pixel Opus's game, that would be really cool.
Every time you say Team Asobi on this podcast, a dev in Japan has like a little shiver up their spine. Going, bad
so, what was
someone,
that?
What was that? Did you feel that? It's awful.
And Jim Ryan's just sitting there like,
Is someone assigning us more work? What's going on?
This team could make more games, actually.
Team Asobi, what you guys up to? We're making 7 games.
They're
how about 8?
Astrobot is in their logo, and literally there's like Fire Sprite, Gorilla, Housemark, all these studios I could be naming, and I'm like, Team Asobi should make another game.
It's so good. They're just so good.
they're really good. Anyway, that's what I'm going to say. Like, wherever it comes from, I just want a new Sly Cooper. That could be possibly a Blue Point thing, because, you know, their quote to me about, like, working on original content very specifically did not negate the idea that they could be working on existing IP.
Right.
So I think Bloodborne is a good candidate. I would love to see them also dip into other PlayStation territory, because they obviously know it very well between Shadow and Demon Souls and the Nathan Drake collection and all that. So I'd love to see that. But we'll see what happens. Moving on from there, Matt, what's another game you would like to see?
You know what's kind of weird is, like, and I'm not gonna bang on this very well beaten drum anymore, but like movies love horror movies because they're cheap to make and they make a buttload of money at the box office, right? And like PlayStation, what, like Silent Hill aside, PlayStation was like a horror console for like a decade with the PS2 era. Like, they've got Siren, you know, they've got games like Siren and Fatal Frame, and I'm surprised that they don't like dip into any of those with the way so many people love Scary Game. I guess my one thing is, like, I don't really see a studio in the PlayStation Studios roster right now that I would imagine can like do horror really well, but I also didn't think Kojima could do horror really well, and he proved us all wrong with a little demo. So, you know, so
we'll that little, those love that little demo,
little demo that nobody thinks about anymore.
That little tiny demo that I regret giving away my PS4 with it on. if I may make a recommendation, just to help solidify that, their recently acquired Firesprite. Their last game was the Persistence VR, which isn't like, I don't know, I wouldn't call it probably straight horror, but I do think it can be very spooky and very like tense as an experience. Mm-hmm. And they are a massive studio, so I assume they either have multiple projects in the works or are working on a really big thing. So to congeal that, and obviously, you know, this is your recommendation, so feel free to tell me to F off, but maybe a horror game by Firesprite.
I'd be down. Something on the map. I haven't played the Persistence, but I'll take your word for it. But yeah, I would love a Siren revival, because that was like their in-house horror game series, if I recall. I think that was a PlayStation Studios joint or something like adjacent to that.
Well, that was Japan Studio.
Studios, that's right. Yeah. That's what I meant. And so, and Siren was very scary. And that whole thing was like, their big thing was like realistic facial models for like on the PS2, which was kind of crazy. But like, imagine that on a PS5, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be terrible.
Would be great. There is a dearth of horror games from the first parties at the moment, and it feels like an untapped market, especially because whenever a cool horror game comes out, it is kind of the thing everyone talks about for a while.
Yeah,
so
people love horror games, people love horror movies, and it's kind of weird to me that like first party studios have like abandoned that genre a little bit.
Absolutely. Mark, what about you? What's another one you want to
F off, Dornbush?
Fair enough.
Agree with everything you're saying, but like you said, we could say it, so
yeah, that's fair.
I was like,
enough.
I can't let that pass.
I'm just gonna see y'all later.
That was it. I actually have two. Am I allowed to do two more? You think we'll come back around? We only have 18 here.
I'm gonna allow it.
All right, cool. So I'll go with my next recent acquisition, which would be Housemarque. Returnal is not the type of game that is probably going to get a sequel. It doesn't super make sense for a game like that. But Housemarque has already gone on record saying that they are moving away from the old arcadey. They want to show that they can make big games like Returnal, right? Returnal was amazing, and it was a hit, and they got acquired by Sony very recently, you know, very quickly after. And so there's no doubt in my mind that when it comes to a gameplay first AAA game like Returnal, Sony is going to put money towards that and kind of give Housemarque just the green light to be like, make something like that again, because that game was very, very beloved. And so we have no idea what it could be, but Housemarque for sure is making another big AAA game in the, maybe not in the vein of Returnal, but they're always going to go with that style. I think that kind of arcadey bullet hell, you know, what are they called? Particles, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So who knows what it could be? Probably not Returnal 2, but Housemarque is definitely working on something.
Returnal?
Like that, for sure.
Returnal.
Returnal.
Returnal. Yeah.
Returnal.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
They should have called this game Turnal, so they could have called the next one Returnal. Can you imagine marketing a game called
Turnal? Hire Dornbush immediately.
You know, hire me for your trophy and bad naming ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, how about Turnal? They're like, that's Turnal. Terrible. And he's like, yeah, but in 3 years? Woo! You just wait. It's going to be amazing.
I'm sorry. Did you say turtle? No. Turnal. With an N and RN. It totally makes sense. Whatever Housemarque is going to be working on, I agree. Returnal feels like the first step in whatever their evolution continues to be.
That's definitely, there's definitely this bridge of like Matterfall and then Returnal, right? And so it's like Returnal is definitely the start of the new Housemarque Studios for sure.
What was your second game that you were going to guess? I'm just going to hit you right now with it. Surprise. Yeah.
Okay. So I see at number 8, we put Sony Bend, new IP. So I'm going to go off of another prediction. I would say Sony Bend, but I guess it could be anybody. There's no way in hell Uncharted is over. They're going to make another Uncharted game. We're probably not going to see Sully and Nate and what's her name? I'm completely blanking.
Do you mean Elena?
Elena? Gosh, yeah. It's been too long. I haven't played Uncharted 4 since it came out. Man, I love that game, though. I need to play it again. But anyways, we're probably not going to see them. Mm-hmm. But Sony, I think it was this year, said like they are doubling down on their big franchises. And Uncharted is arguably one of their biggest. So while Naughty Dog's going to continue to make I think, you know, Sony owns that license. So anybody can make that game as long as Sony approves it. So I fully believe that, you know, it's in the tea leaves when PlayStation PC, you know, they're coming out with this whole, you know,
the Uncharted, what's it called? Thieves Collection.
Exactly.
Yeah, Legacy of Thieves, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of screams to me that it's like, let's drum up the Uncharted excitement once more by getting these games on PS5 and on PC. So that way at E3 or something, we can reveal our new Uncharted game.
Yeah.
It's gotta be coming. So Uncharted from somebody.
Uncharted from somebody. From Among Thieves to From Somebody, the Uncharted series. I agree. I think there is no way they let Uncharted die on the vine. That is too big a name for them.
They turned it into a movie, you know? It's gotta tie it in with something.
They clearly are looking forward to it. And then moving on from there, Matt, do you have a third or do you? I have one to mention, but if you don't have a third.
I have a potential idea for who can make the next Uncharted.
Okay.
Because we know that God of War Ragnarok is being handled by a different director over at Santa Monica and that Corey is working on something else. I could see Santa Monica doing Uncharted really well.
Hmm.
I
could see a team 2 over at Santa Monica whip up a really smart Uncharted story that maybe doesn't even star Nathan Drake. You know, I love that.
Yeah.
I love Lost Legacy. And
I'm
totally happy to see something in that vein from that studio, you know?
Oh, man. Give me a Chloe Frazier starring Uncharted from Santa Monica. I'd be into that. Yeah. Right. Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. And that's what I mean is like, I think the Nathan Drake story is done, right? It's one of those things I've said it a long time. Like, it's really hard when you have 4 games to stick the landing. And I think Uncharted 4 stuck the landing so good that while I love Nathan Drake, I would be terrified for him to ever be in a game again because like, I don't want them to retcon what I feel like was a really, really good ending.
Sure. Yeah.
Uncharted. It's not dead. It's coming back. And more Chloe would be amazing because I agree. I love Lost Legacy.
Nathan became a dad at the end of 4, so he's basically dead. He's dead.
That's true.
That's what happens.
There's never been a dad in a Sony video game before. So,
wait a minute.
Oh, no. They just made it's just a model swap. They just put Nathan and his kid in God of War.
There you go. I'm trying to think of a PlayStation game that the main character that's a dude isn't a dad. Like, you know, they're all dads. You got Joel.
I don't think Deacon has a kid in Daisy. I mean, I don't know the ending of that game. So maybe he has a kid at the end, but I don't think he's a kid. He has a kid in the beginning.
Just in the ending, they're like, all right.
And he's got a kid.
Save the day. And they're like, oh, by the way, I'm your son. He's like, what?
Wow.
You'll find out more in the sequel that'll never come out.
Days Gone. I like that thought, though. Connor. You know, Red, swap it in at 20, put Uncharted from Santa Monica. My last recommendation then is going to be, obviously, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to stop banging the drum. I know. I'm not going to stop banging the drum. I'm not going to stop saying it's going to happen. And, you know, obviously Sony has an investment in the competitive fighting scene, having, you know, purchased part of Evo and yeah, being, you know, an owner in that. They have an investment now in the scene. They don't have a first party game that really fits that bill, but they do have this franchise. And Bandai Namco isn't working on a Smash Bros. Probably anytime soon, because it sure seems like Sakurai needs to get some sleep. So... maybe they want to contract them to basically do PlayStation All-Stars. That's all I'm saying. That could be a possibility. Sure. Before we go into any more, I thought we could give the audience at home, and a lot of people replied to me on Twitter looking for some opinions for these next four games. Obviously, I know from this list, it's worth mentioning. One, they did say more than 25 games. Obviously, we did not include things here that would be quite obvious, like a Ghost of Tsushima sequel, because that seems like all but... confirmed, right, at this point, yeah, to happen. We can maybe put that in as 26, Red, if you want. But I'm going to throw a few at you guys and let me know what you think if we want to put these on the list. We've gotten a few that we already mentioned here, Sly Cooper, The Getaway, a few others. I think a lot of people said Knack, and I don't know if that's true or not. I really got to be honest. I don't know.
Knack 3?
Knack 3, baby.
Knack 3, yeah. Knack 3 did get a lot of love, it seems. Ryan suggested a new, grittier Infamous.
Jim Ryan
suggested a new, grittier Infamous.
He's like, guys, I just have an idea.
Is this something we can make happen? Is this something that you can suggest on the show?
Similarly to Uncharted, do we feel like Infamous is a PS3 started series? Do we feel like it's gone? Do we feel like it's forever gone, or do we feel like there might be a chance it could come back?
I feel like Infamous might be one of those that had its time and was kind of its thing, and I think its day in the sun might be over. Only because here it is. It was like a non-comic book superhero game, right? Like that was kind of its core thing.
Yeah.
And then we're in an era where like superheroes are the biggest thing in the world, right? Like why create original superhero when like Marvel and DC are like happily giving away their most popular characters to any which way people that want them, right? So like, no offense to Infamous, but like we're in like a golden age of superheroes right now where people would probably prefer a Spider-Man, a Wolverine, a Batman, right? To we have a smart little original twist on the genre, right?
So your vote hard is for against me to... then saying Infamous maybe it works.
Yeah, I you know, never say never.
Yeah,
you know, that is a property of theirs, but the reluctance to remaster 1 and 2, those games are trapped on PlayStation 3 forever, apparently. And the reception for Infamous Second Son, which I know a lot of us like, I really like that game, but you know, it was definitely a Infamous game on PS4 that no one really talks about too much anymore. And so I think it could come back eventually. I don't think it's part of this wave. I think it's going to be one of those things where like maybe PlayStation 6 era, you know, another 5 or 6 years from now, all of a sudden you're going to see this like super like dark and gritty thing, and you're going to be like, what is this? And he's going to shoot something out of his hands, and then it's going to say Infamous, and people are going to go wild. I just don't think that time is yet. I don't think people are ready to go, you know, like Perfect Dark, right? Perfect Dark was a beloved N64 game, and then Perfect Dark Zero was not a beloved Xbox game, and then I don't think anybody cared for another Perfect Dark, but now it's back, right? And now people are extremely hyped for it all these years later. And I think Infamous, I can kind of see it going that same route. I think it'll be back, not anytime soon, probably not for another 5 or 6, 7 years.
No, I get it. No disrespect then to the recommendation, because I do agree. I don't think Infamous is gone, but Red, let's say I apologize, Ryan, but let's take it off the list for now then, if we're not all in agreement. Yeah.
I think it's alive. I don't think it's part of this wave of 25 games in development.
Gotcha. So one I'm going to hit you with that both, or I think several, Jericho and Allie both wrote in. Obviously saying it's an absolute dream scenario, but that's what this list is. It's made up of dreams, except not dreams.
Except for the actual game dreams.
Silent Hill.
Sure.
from Kojima.
A popular.
Yeah. Yep. That's a popular rumor.
I think we got to add it to the list. Silent Hill from Kojima is officially one of the 25 games. You heard it here first.
Why not?
It's fine. This will appear on a subreddit as someone's like leaked list for E3 next year.
That'd be great.
Oh, that'd be awesome, actually. I'd love that.
In presentation by Jim Ryan at number 25. closing remarks.
But misspell presentation, please.
Yeah, right.
Another one from friend of the show, Asa, previously guest on the show, good friend, suggested sort of a grab bag so we can maybe pick one of these. Another sort of Blue Point style one-off remake, not from Blue Point necessarily, but a PS1 era remake. Specifically, they mentioned Tomba. I forget how to pronounce it. Parappa.
I think it's Tomba.
Is it Tomba? Said Tomba. Okay.
One of those, it's actually like a rare game now. Tomba 2 is, I know, I'm sure Tomba 1 is. I don't know if anybody's clamoring for
Tomba. Well, so Tomba, Parappa, or Siphon Filter?
I don't know if I love
any of these. Matt, any on your end?
I don't know.
Honestly, I could, I don't know, maybe not. I remember I played Parappa, the PS4 re-release, and I was like, this is jamming, but also it's a hard game.
Definitely a PS1 game.
That's fair. Well, apologies to our good friend Asa, but those remakes are not making the list, it seems.
Yeah, I know there's the whole thing where people just want Sony Ben to be working on Siphon Filter, but I don't think that Siphon Filter is a franchise that PlayStation is prioritizing right now.
Fair enough. What about this one? I will say, despite how busy they are, a lot of people have suggested Insomniac make more games. Why Team Asobi, we've got a few other Insomniac candidates here.
Okay.
I'll throw a couple at you. Damon suggested an Avatar project. Avatar Damon the Last Hatfield? Airbender.
Mm.
Not Damon Hatfield. Suggested
Friend of the show?
Avatar the Last Airbender from Insomniac.
Sure. I people do love Avatar.
It's a great series.
Not to be confused with the actual Avatar game coming out. Avatar The Last Airbender. People do love that show.
Okay, so. Before it's officially added, and I know you just typed it, Red, but leave it there just in case you don't have to delete it. No, don't delete it.
Once it's on there, it can't come off. Rules.
That or another Insomniac one, just to keep them on the Marvel train, Fantastic Four.
Mm.
So I'm going to leave it up to you guys. Fantastic Four or Avatar from Insomniac?
I'm going to go Avatar just because I know that fan base would love a really good, you know, Avatar games have existed, but they've all been kind of, you know, shovelware-y. I think they're a little bit above shovelware, but you know, they're not real quality AAA games, right? The only Avatar game I ever played was on Xbox 360. You can get the all 1,000 gamer score in the first like minute of the game. People will know what I'm talking about.
I forgot about that game.
But I'm gonna go with Avatar. I think Fantastic Four is a little too, you know, they already got Spider-Man, they already got Wolverine. Let's go Avatar.
I'm a point counterpoint this. I'll go Fantastic Four. I don't care.
You suck.
Yeah. I got you, man. You're wrong. I'm right.
Oh, no.
Sorry, man.
I tried.
Then we're going to do Avatar. I'm going to be the swing vote and say Avatar because that's what I really want to see an Avatar game at this point. All right. We've got two more spots to fill. Let's see if we can do this quickly. I'm looking through. River suggested I would love to see a first party major first person shooter again. My first choice would be Resistance reboot.
I was thinking Killzone, but either is fine.
My gut reaction between both of those would definitely be Resistance. I don't know. I would vote neither, and I would say just a first person shooter. I would love that. I don't think either of those need to come back.
Okay.
But I'm never super big on just like what's old that we can bring back. I'm like, I want to see some new stuff, right? Yeah. Like if I had to choose, I guess I'll choose Resistance, though, because Killzone
Why don't we just put it to you? Because I get what you're saying. Why don't we just say a first person shooter from PlayStation?
Yeah, I would love that. At this
point, we just don't really have that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. No, it's definitely like the genre they're missing, for sure.
It'll be called Death Area.
Ooh, I love it.
or trying to think of a synonym for resistance. Struggle's not bad. It'll be called pushback. It's called pushback and death zone.
Imagine having a badass name like Killzone and they'd be like, how about this death area?
I mean,
terrible. But also brilliant.
Death area, goofy. Pushback, if you told me there was a game being announced next year called Pushback, I would believe you. That sounds like a game. Thank you, Red, by the way. Of course, noting struggle would be an anagram.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or an acronym, not an anagram.
Pushback, yeah. You mean resistance? We don't say the R word.
Yeah, no resistance, no kill zone. We've come out with new titles for those shooters. So there's a lot of like repeats of Uncharted of things. A few of the ones we've obviously mentioned already, Silent Hill and whatnot. So Red, obviously, I haven't called up one that you have mentioned before on the show. Through image, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not by not putting it on the list. But Red is a big fan, as I am. I think I could be overblowing this, of Puppeteer, the PS3 game that not many people remember, but I loved.
I don't even know what that is.
So Puppeteer was a platform video game made by Sony Japan Studio. It had this like 2D and 3D playable like modes in it. It was really, really interesting. You essentially were a like puppeted character who, like, a boy who was changed. I'm reading the official description. A boy changed into an animated puppet and immediately decapitated.
Okay. Wow.
Throughout the game, Kutaro, the boy, obtains various heads to replace his own. Red is now putting up a trailer.
That's how you do B-roll right there. Yeah, that's how you do it. You pull up a YouTube video and just go.
It essentially was presented as like a play that you would watch a little bit, and you would get different heads that had different abilities and do different things. It was a really, really cool inventive game that was one of those like, oh man, Japan Studio makes really awesome stuff. Mm. But it was at a weird point in the PS3's life. It came out in 2013, so it was right around the PS4 coming out. It sort of got lost in the shuffle. It's a really, really cool game that I love, and I know Red is a big fan of. So I'm pulling rank and saying that's going to be the 25th game, a Puppeteer reboot.
Hey man,
Oh man, look at those graphics. That's how you know this is an old video.
Yeah, not to be reductive, but when you were telling me like, oh, he can like absorb different powers through his like puppet abilities, I'm like, oh, so like Kirby, but it'll traumatize you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Traumatizing Kirby, aka the new Kirby game that's coming.
Yeah, just
Kirby
a real effed up Kirby.
Looks a lot like Little Nightmares as well, for sure.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that vibe in there as well, especially with like the lighting, as you can like, if you
yeah, the dark
video,
shadowy,
yeah,
over exaggerated characters.
There's literally like stage lighting that like, follows your character and stuff. So it was a really, really cool game that I really, really loved. And here we
He's
are.
Got a banana
That's
on his head. If this game can come back, then something like Folklore could come back as well, which was like another like Sony published game, right?
You're so really like digging deep.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean, is like these deep like cuts that a lot of people didn't play, but like have these smaller fan bases, like,
So here's our list. Here are the 25 games we are saying are in development at PlayStation. I think it looks pretty great. I don't know about all of you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Send this to the Gaming Leaks and Rumors subreddit.
Love it.
Throw it on someone's Twitter page who has two followers, but its name is like PS5 Leaks for Real 29.
Yep.
And, we might have a leak, Matt, that you'll have to unfortunately debunk. Just a couple weeks. Thank you both for humoring me for this very silly list. It took longer than I expected, but we got
this. This was fun. When you pitched doing this, I was like, oh, this is gonna be rough because I don't know any. But this was good. This is good.
We got there, and it helped that unfortunately a lot of Sony job applications have said we're working on a multiplayer game. So that helped us get through a number of these. Yeah, that brings us pretty close, unfortunately, to the end of the show. I do just want to briefly mention, and obviously, Matt, it's something that I think like the news team and especially like Taylor on the tech team will keep people updated on. But I do think it's worth mentioning that there was a report from Bloomberg end of last week that citing sources familiar with Sony's operations, that they will unfortunately be cutting their target for PS5s. They were originally targeting 16 million PS5s to have been produced by the end of March 2022. That figure has been cut by a million. They apparently allegedly told investors that there were logistical issues and part shortages that have grown even more severe. Sales actually ended in September 2021. That quarter, sales ended weaker than they expected. And since July, sales of the console have fallen behind the pace of the PS4. So this is one of those things where obviously, you know, I think one of the most frequent comments we saw for our last episode where it was, hey, it's the 1 year anniversary of the PS5 was most people being like, it's been a year. I still haven't gotten it.
Yeah. That chip shortage is real, like real, yeah. Real.
The only thing I want is for people to be able to buy a PS5. And it's like so tragic that that's not possible. I'm working on getting someone here at the company an Xbox. He needs an Xbox. And so I was talking to our deals team who obviously, you know, they don't have inside info. They can just give me tips and stuff. And I'm like, hey, can I get a Series X? And they're like, no. Like, no way. Like, you can try just like everybody else. But they're like, now that we're going into Christmas, it's impossible once again to get these consoles. Funny story, though, if you are, this is, you know, you can get a Series S basically anywhere. I can go to the Best Buy that's 10 miles away and just buy one, apparently. But yeah, the only thing I want is for people to be able to buy these consoles. And it's really sucks that a year later, they're like, hey, it's about to get worse.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
It's really frustrating because obviously, you know, we're not going to not cover the PS5 exclusives here. And those will become more the norm as we get more into this generation. But I do wonder also how this changes people's development outlooks. Like it very much makes, you know, obviously people were frustrated when PlayStation said we were going to be going, you know, we believe in generations, we're going to jump. Mm-hmm. And then Horizon, Gran Turismo and God of War were announced for both PS4 and PS5. But it's like, especially with their sales outlook, they're stopping 100+ million people from getting those games when people are just struggling to get the consoles. So like I
can't imagine a world where the big bosses aren't like, yo, your game needs to be able to work on PS4. Like there's however many of those consoles are out there. Like we need to be able to hit that market. So,
yeah. It's a frustrating development to see. And obviously, as those changes happen, Matt, you and the rest of the news team have been doing an awesome job keeping us all up to date on that. So thank you for giving me the stories I can read.
Thanks, Matt.
No problem. Yeah.
Single-handedly.
No, it's a team effort and it's great. And I have one thing to say, do your Christmas shopping early because don't tell my mom I bought her an iPad. She does not watch the show, so it's okay. But I bought her an iPad for Christmas. That was a nightmare to get.
Jokes really? On you. Please bring on Red, our fourth guest, Matt's mom.
I would love to do a podcast with Matt's mom. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
She's lovely. She doesn't know anything about games. It'll be very.
Oh, it sounds like a perfect podcast.
I mean, that's what the audience.
Because neither do I.
Level is. Yeah. So you're.
Yeah.
It is totally a real problem that is affecting all. Parts of both the tech and gaming industry and just kind of all production and delivery systems right now. So it really sucks. Obviously, when we see these developments, we'll discuss them on the show and hopefully get people some tips, some advice on how to look out for PS5s. But I hope some people listening are able to get their hands on them for this holiday. Yep. That's going to pretty quickly wrap us up. Before we do go, I do want to mention, obviously, pretty briefly, anything that either of you have been playing. Matt, I'll just start with you quickly. Anything you want to tout or mention that you've been playing?
So I don't know if any of the listeners follow me on Twitter, but my ceiling collapsed a couple weeks ago
in
a storm. And so I was out of a room for like 3 weeks and couldn't play any games or do anything during that big time when a bunch of games came out. So now I'm playing of those games that I missed out. So I'm playing Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm playing The Horizon. I'm playing Inscription. I'm playing literally anything that I just could not play within the last 3 weeks that came out. So
understandable. Yeah. Just to catch up sort of side. How's the roof now?
The roof, I'm, as you can see, for viewers looking at the video, I'm back in my own room because it has a roof again. And so I'm all set and it's great. And I'm happy to be back.
It's looking a little bright in there. There might not be a roof. You know?
Don't tell people how I live.
That's not what we call a sunroof. That's just a lot. Yeah.
It's just outside.
It's a new feature. All right. Yeah. They told me it was the best thing and it was super cool. And
convertible houses. You know?
Yeah, I mean, with the San Francisco real estate, I would believe a lack of a roof would be called a sunroof. Mark, obviously, I know you've been playing a little bit of a certain remastered trilogy, but
yes, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto, and I gotta say, I am loving it. It's one of those things. It's like Cyberpunk, right? There's a lot of people that played Cyberpunk and they're like, I'm not experiencing any of these glitches, right? But obviously the glitches exist. There's no doubt. And so for GTA, there's no doubt. There are tons of glitches in that game. I'm experiencing almost nothing. The worst thing that's happening to me is, yeah, you can see on screen here, we put together a little bit of a montage of just like, I just watched some videos and I'm like, this is a thing. If you can see on screen in San Andreas, planes are just falling out of the sky. Like the NPCs, they just don't know how to fly. It's the weirdest thing ever. But I am playing Grand Theft Auto 3 specifically right now. When it rains, it's incredible. It's incredibly dark. But other than that, I've experienced almost no glitches. I am having like the time of my life with these games. I got pulled away for a work thing that we can't talk about yet, but I am like itching to get back to these. I'm very excited for Thanksgiving. We'll be taking a few days off, and I'm just like, I can't wait to get back into GTA because it's
Matt, did you just feel that?
Yeah.
What I feel. Is there an earthquake?
There, my building just rumbled.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, weird. Okay.
But we
it might be the Grand Theft Auto B-roll. It's just,
it might be. Yeah.
Well, but yeah, no, I am loving Grand Theft Auto. It is a very fun game. I also recognize that it is glitchy as hell. So sorry if you are not having a good time. I am having a good time though.
Yeah, it's it is obvious that there are a ton of issues people are experiencing, and I haven't played yet. Apparently there was a 4.1 magnitude earthquake that just happened.
Oh my gosh.
In San Ramon. And we were feeling, I just felt the after effects. That is strange.
Wow. I'm like 4 hours from you guys, so
yeah, feel it quite as much.
It's nice and calm down here.
Fair enough. But yeah, I haven't jumped into this remaster trilogy yet just because of everything I've heard. I might eventually, but at this point it feels like I'm going to see what they work out, see how things
is it on your
not addressed, but
is it on your list at all, Matt, or you just like, nah, I don't care?
No, I mean, well, I'm interested because I've never played these games, but I can wait. And as you know, roof, ceiling, bunch of old games I got to play.
Right.
Notoriously having these things right now.
Yeah, I gotta say, most of it is nostalgia, right? Like, these games are good because I loved them growing up, right? So that'll be my thing. But yeah, Grand Theft Auto, good game.
Awesome. Well, good to hear. And though, apologies to everyone who is actually going through those bugs at the moment. Hopefully things get patched soon. It is definitely a clear struggle of a launch overall. So we'll see, obviously, how those get patched and fixed and whatnot. Hopefully they do before GTA 6 ever comes out. Other than that, though, that is pretty much going to wrap us up for this week's episode of Podcast Beyond. Matt and Mark, thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. Very much appreciated.
Always a pleasure.
Any work or anything specific on IGN that you want to shout people toward that they should go check out before we wrap up? Matt.
Is this episode coming
out? It goes live today, yes.
Today? Yep. Check out IGN tomorrow at 8 a.m. for something cool.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
It's that list of 25 games. We're going to reveal all of them simultaneously. Mark, what about you?
Nothing on IGN that we can like talk about yet. It's that time of the year where things are kind of secretive. I started doing the Twitter spaces on Twitter. So if you want to follow me on Twitter at Mark_Medina, I'm doing them at between 6 and 7 on Fridays. I feel like it's a good fun to kick off the weekend. Last week we talked about PlayStation 1 year anniversary, and I had a bunch of people kind of call in and talk, and it was really fun. And we'll be doing a more Xbox driven episode this Friday. Tune in for that if you want to be on there. Yeah.
Unforgivable.
I know.
You can thank you for that heads up. And then of course, do want to mention Lucy and I are hard at work on all of the end of year stuff, so that's what we're prioritizing, so please bear with us as we don't have any other cool projects to announce just yet. But anyway, other than that, thank you both so much for joining me for this week. You can find us all on Twitter. I'm at JM Dornbush, Matt is at Law of TD, and Mark is at Mark_Medina. Thank you to Red, our producer, for making the show happen, and for dealing with all of my silly game title names that we suggested this week. And of course, thank you to everyone out there for listening and watching. We hope you're safe and we hope you're well. And as always, beyond.
Beyond.
Nintendo voice chat.
No.
No.
Every time.
Hi, I'm Essie, one of the hosts of Bitches on Comics, the most welcoming place for LGBTQ plus folks and women to chat comics, fiction, and pop culture. Bitches are both wanted and encouraged on our podcast. We speak with amazing guests about the media they've created, critiqued, and loved, and you don't have to just take our word for the great time we're having over here. We've been named a best comic book podcast by several publications, including Book Riot, The Mary Sue, and Comic Book Herald. So tune in and listen to us talk with your faves like Carmen Maria Machado, Amy Chu, Mari Naomi, Anthony Oliveira, and many, many others. Our whole goal is to include more folks in the comic book and pop culture world and to help new readers find comics and speculative books they'll love, with no shade for being new. You can find Bitches on Comics wherever you get your podcasts, and you can learn more at bitchesoncomics.com.